The holy inspired word of God that we read today from the gospel comes from Matthew 25. We read verses 1 through 13, the words of Jesus our Savior. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight a cry was heard, "Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him." Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said to the wise, "Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out." But the wise answered, saying, "No, lest there should not be enough for us and you. But go rather to those who sell and buy for yourselves." And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the wedding, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, "Lord, Lord, open to us." But he answered and said, "Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." Please be seated. Dear loved ones of Jesus Christ, qualified and prepared for the wedding feast. A few years ago, Microsoft did a study on human attention span, and they released their findings in 2015. And in that study, they concluded, having tracked the human attention span from 2000 to 2015, that it had decreased by about 4.5 seconds. It doesn't sound all that substantial, but one of the memorable sayings from that study was that now in 2015, the human attention span is less than that of a goldfish. It doesn't really have a lot of flattery or compliment for our human attention span if it doesn't even last as long as a goldfish. But in an ironic twist, the fact that Microsoft, a tech company, developed this study, they came away with the conclusion that it's mostly because of technology that we have a decreased attention span. Now, as it is with basically any study, it's kind of hard to know exactly what is true and what is not, because there are many people that have argued against this study as well. And the general consensus of the camp that argues and says, well, that study is not very conclusive, is that the human attention span is not decreasing, but it's simply evolving and changing direction, focusing on different things in different ways. Now, I'm not a scientist, I'm not a researcher, I'm not an expert on this study or on the human attention span, so I don't know which side is right or wrong. But one thing that we both can agree on is that there are plenty of distractions today. We live in a day and age where there are more distractions that compete for our attention than at any other point in human history. And certainly, whether good or bad, that's going to change the way we focus and the way that we pay attention in some way or another. And this hits home to our faith, because God says that part of our faith is about paying attention to certain things. That's a constant theme throughout the Bible. In the Bible, God tells us to pay attention to what His Word teaches. Jesus tells us to pay attention or keep a watchful eye on what pastors or teachers say about His Word. The Bible tells you as a Christian to pay attention, to take heed of your conduct, the way you live your life, your attitude as a Christian, how you represent yourself to others. And in this parable today, Jesus tells us to pay attention for His final day. And the inherent question in all of these aspects where we talk about paying attention is, what is causing us to become distracted? As it is with any parable, we find our answers by making the connections between the illustrative story that God gives and the real life application in our lives. The custom that Jesus speaks about here, the custom of a Jewish wedding celebration, is kind of foreign to our culture and to our customs. Essentially, what would happen is that when a husband and wife decided to get married, that was called the betrothal, they were recognized in society as husband and wife. It had a legal significance to it. Sometimes people make the connection between the Jewish betrothal and our custom of engagement, but the two don't really fit. Think of Mary and Joseph's story, where Joseph found out that Mary was pregnant before they had officially been married, even though they were betrothed, and he was going to divorce her because she had, in his mind, broken that marriage commitment. The Jewish betrothal was equal to the legal binding of husband and wife. They simply did not live together yet in the same household. That's where the thoughts of our text come in for today. Jesus is talking about the wedding celebration where the bride, with her bridal party, come to meet the bridegroom for the official celebration. You see, what would happen in Jewish culture is that the bridegroom would prepare his house, not only for the celebration and the wedding service, if you will, but to start a new life with his bride, to be formed as one family. And so the bride would wait with her party for the bridegroom to arrive, for the ready signal to go up. And no one really knew exactly when that would be, so they would have to be prepared. And Jesus takes this element of marriage and likens it to our faith as it pertains to the last day. It's not an uncommon theme in the Bible for God to describe our life with Him by faith as a marriage. God talks about Christ as the groom, and we believers, the church, as the bride of Christ. And on that final day when He returns, He is going to initiate the wedding celebration, the great feast, where we are forever united with Him in heaven. So there are many different things we gain by understanding the illustrations of this parable. But as it is with any parable, there's one central theme. There's one central point to the lesson. And in this parable for today, that central point is pay attention. What Jesus says in the final verse, watch. Given the state of the world around us today, given the impact of God's word in our lives, given the importance of this message and the impending return of our Savior Jesus, this message of watchfulness is extremely critical in our lives. And so from God's word today, we seek to learn and understand how to be a wise watcher in my faith. And we focus on three areas, the first of which is preparation. Christian preparation is always tied to urgency. God calls us to prepare because of the urgency of our faith. And what do we mean by that? Well, we see how that is expressed in the parables. The 10 virgins who accompany the bride in the wedding party are divided up into 5 wise and 5 foolish. And part of that distinction is made by how well they prepared. To be prepared in this context was to bring extra oil for your lamp. And this was tied to urgency. The way that the groom would identify the wedding party was by the light of the lamp. And the way that the light of the lamp shone was by the oil that burned. In our modern colloquial language, we might conclude the thought here of being better to be safe than sorry. Those who were wise prepared for what was unexpected, prepared for what was out of their control by accumulating more than enough of what they needed. How exactly does that correspond to our lives by faith in Jesus? You probably heard in Sunday school or in past times of Christian instruction that the oil of the lamp refers to your faith, and don't let that oil go out or you won't have faith. More specifically, though, we might conclude that the faith is the light of the lamp. The faith is that which displays to Jesus that we believe in Him, that we are a Christian. The oil would really be that which keeps faith burning bright in our lives, that which keeps our faith strong and active in preparation of that final day. Essentially, the oil would be the gospel, the good news of Jesus as our Savior from sin. And we recognize that the gospel comes to us by proclamation of the Lord's word. I hope that's one of the reasons you're here today, is to hear the message of Jesus and what he has done as your Savior. The gospel also comes to us through the sacraments. God says that baptism washes away our sin, not by washing dirt off of our body, but by cleansing our conscience before God. The Bible tells us that the Lord's Supper is given and shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. That the Lord is renewing and strengthening our faith. He's bringing us back up from the depths of our sin by giving us the gospel. And so to use the oil of the lamp is to keep those things active in your life. A wise watcher prepares for what is unexpected, prepares for what he or she cannot control. And so in our lives, keeping that oil in our lamps is making regular use of God's word in Bible studies, in church, at home, privately with devotions, in our families. Keeping it as an active centerpiece in all of the most important relationships of our lives. Most of all, our relationship with God. Keeping our oil alive means making regular use of the Lord's Supper as we're going to this morning here in our worship service. Receiving time and time again that unchangeable assurance and promise of God that we have received the new covenant of forgiveness through the grace of our Savior. Preparing means resisting temptation, recognizing those things in our hearts or in the world around us that are not going to lead us to Jesus, but rather lead us away, and turning and saying no to those things. The reason we do these things is because of the urgency of our situation. Jesus tells us to watch because we don't know the day or the hour that he's going to return. He tells us that this world has an expiration date. We don't want to be the type of Christian that has the attitude of waiting until the end of our lives to follow Jesus. We don't want to be the type of Christian that says, well, I'll find God and religion after I get through the fun part of my life. God tells us the urgency is now, so prepare. That's why Paul taught in Acts 17. He said, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked. The times of the Old Testament God overlooked because Jesus was still coming. But now, God commands all people to repent and to believe because he's appointed a day on which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he has ordained. And he has given assurance of this by raising him from the dead. There's an urgency to our lives now as Christians living today because Jesus has come. He has died on the cross for our sins. He has risen from the dead and he says, I'm going to return. The second area where we seek to be a wise watcher is in qualification. When the foolish virgins recognize that the bridegroom has arrived, they make a plea to the wise virgins to say, give us some of your oil so that it doesn't run out. And the response to this was, no, lest there should not be enough for us and you. This was not an attitude of selfishness on the part of the wise. It was the reality of the situation. The oil could not be shared from lamp to lamp. It could not be shared from one person to another. Doing so would have disqualified everyone. Likewise, for our lives, a wise watcher recognizes how he or she is qualified for the kingdom of heaven. While we certainly share many blessings of faith with our community of believers, with our church, one of the things that we cannot share is faith itself. We can encourage one another. We can share the word of God. We can celebrate the Lord's Supper and the sacraments. We can display God's grace to one another. But I cannot believe for you. You cannot believe for me. Ultimately, faith is a matter between you and God alone. And Jesus teaches that. This is what qualifies you for the kingdom of heaven. It's not that somebody does enough for you. It's not that somebody prayed well enough for you. It's whether or not you believe in Jesus, whether or not you have faith. So the wise virgins urge the foolish virgins to say, go and buy that oil. Go and get that oil quickly because the bridegroom is on his way. But it was too late. Your qualification for heaven is dependent on Jesus alone. And that's what faith does, is it trusts Jesus. Faith puts Jesus in your place. Your qualification to heaven is not about who you are associated with, what you do for others. It's not about what anyone else says about your faith, whether it's good or bad. Some people think that they're in the right with God because of the settings around them, because of association. You're not saved because of that. You're saved with one thing alone, and that's Jesus. A wise watcher will understand and believe what makes them qualified. If you are wise, you will trust in Jesus alone. You will believe in your heart that He is the way, the truth, and the life. And you will confess with your words and actions that He is your Savior. Since you are qualified now, this very day, Jesus says, believe, follow, watch. Be prepared for my coming. Don't wait around again. There's an urgency right now. The final area that Jesus speaks about being a wise watcher is in anticipation. And it's in this final point that we kind of come full circle back to the overall theme of this parable. The Lord wants us to watch, to pay attention for His final day. For the believer, there's a note of anticipation that comes along with that. We prepare, we watch, not because it's a burden or an obligation on our lives. We do not watch with fear or terror. But we are privileged to joyfully anticipate our Savior's return. We do not take a ho-hum attitude to the final day because there's great joy and hope in our hearts. A wise watcher takes this approach to the day of judgment. Now, certainly, when you think about what God says about judgment day in His Word, you think of the scripture reading from Matthew 25, God certainly takes it seriously. There's a reason Jesus warns us about it. And so, yes, there's trepidation, there's unknowns that come along with thinking about the final day, and sometimes that can create a sense of angst in our hearts at times. But ultimately, joy overcomes that. We anticipate when our Savior returns, not because we know the exact day, not because He tells us, okay, here's all the details of what's going to happen in the world up to that point, so that you know. Rather, it stems from our trust in Him. And trust is being able to submit that to God and say, I can have joy and anticipation even though I don't know exactly when the final day is. I can have joy and anticipation even though God hasn't painted the picture in 100% detail of what it's going to look like. I don't need those details because what I do know gives me enough joy and hope of what my Savior has done and accomplished for me. The believer's anticipation of joy is found all throughout the Bible. You just have to look. Psalm 24, verse 7 says, lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in. When the Old Testament believers sang about this in this psalm, they said, lift up your heads. Be happy, be joyful, because your King is coming back. Jesus said in Luke 21, when these things begin to happen, the signs of the end times, He says, look up, lift up your heads, because your redemption draws near. Paul wrote to young pastor Titus in chapter 2, and he said, the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. You're qualified. And that teaches us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed. That's where our joy is. I don't have joy as a Christian because I've got the timer in my back pocket And I can live how I want to live now and be ready when God finally calls me home. There's not joy in that. At least not the joy of God. We have joyful anticipation because we know who our Savior is. And the Holy Spirit has created a faith in our hearts through the gospel to trust Him in all circumstances. Part of the wise virgin's preparation was this joy. One of the reasons that they were prepared is because they were looking forward to this. To be in the presence of the bridegroom for them meant joy. You have that same privilege by faith. The Lord Jesus says to you, come, believe. All things are now ready. You are qualified. You can prepare today. You don't have to wait. No one else has to do it for you. The wedding feast is ready. Nothing is lacking. God is merciful and long-suffering in His ways that He works with us. He calls us to repentance, but He expresses forgiveness at every step along the way. You are ready. You are qualified. God has given you everything you need to prepare. And therefore, you can watch with joy. Who's to say if our attention span really is getting less or if it's just changing? I don't know, and honestly, I don't really care. Because when it comes to eternity, a better question is, are we prepared? Are we paying attention? Are we watching? What we do know is that there are plenty of distractions before us in our lives. There are plenty of things in our lives that can take away from God. As you plan out your weekly schedule, you'll have no shortage of opportunities to fill that into the brim and to put church on the back burner or to put your own private devotions with God away or to withhold yourself from the Lord's table for months or years at a time. You'll have no shortage of opportunities to do that. But remember, a wise watcher prepares. A wise watcher recognizes and believes that he or she is qualified by Jesus. A wise watcher joyfully anticipates that final return. May the Lord Jesus lead us in His Word and in His sacraments to continue forward in our faith in wisdom, paying attention, and being ready. Amen. Please rise.